Hi, Marty Lurie here as we get ready for Giants baseball with one of our favorites, and that is Northern California's own, Rhys Hoskins. How are you?
I'm great, Marty. It's always great to be back west. I get a chance to see a lot of family, but just be back in California, it's always a great time for me.
Well, as we like to say, Northern California's own Rhys Hoskins grew up in the Sacramento area, Jesuit High School, right, Carmichael and all that. And we had you on when you first showed up in the big leagues, remember?
Yeah, that was August of 2017, so we're going on 5 years now. Crazy to say out loud, has gone as fast as I can think of, a blink of an eye, really. But it's all, like I said, it's great to be back. There's a lot. I have a lot of good memories here, and I look forward to making some more.
Look at how things have jumped for you quickly. Rookie of the Year, number four in your first year. Bellinger gets it. There's some other people involved in that, but how about that?
Yeah, it was crazy, right? Getting called up in August, it was really just about getting the opportunity, getting my feet wet, seeing what the competition at the big league level was like. You know, any sort of season-long award was never on my radar just because I felt like I didn't have enough time to, you know, enter myself into those conversations. But just with the way that 2017 went, I caught a pretty big wave and rode it as long as I could, and ended up in that Rookie of the Year conversation, albeit in, you know, the third or fourth place. But pretty cool to be mentioned in some of those names. Obviously, you mentioned Bellinger. He went on to win an MVP. So pretty good group of guys to be with.
Well, come on. It's amazing to be able to do that. Now, look, I grew up in South Florida. So many ball players came from South Florida. We know Southern California, Texas, but I'm telling you something. All of a sudden, Northern California is producing a lot of ball players. How come?
Yeah, I've always thought that, especially Sacramento. It seems that it's been somewhat of a baseball hotbed, at least in my lifetime. Growing up, Sac City was always a powerhouse. I know they've produced a couple of big leaguers from that era. You know, going on down the Philly route, Larry Boa and John Vukovich were both Sacramento guys. I still get to be around Larry, which is awesome, and we share that connection, you know, being from Northern California. But it's that same type of thing as Southern California, right? We mostly get a chance to play year-round if we choose to. Yeah, I like it. It's cool for Sacramento, but it's also just great for baseball in California to get a little Northern California, Southern California rivalry.
Rhys Hoskins is with us. Ask Larry Boa one day about the scout who signed him. Now, he's a little guy in Sacramento, and Larry Boa, a great shortstop, an all-star shortstop. We know him well. And to get him signed, they had to show film of him in a motel room using a sheet for the wall so they could show film of Larry Boa. That's how unheralded he was.
It worked, though, right? Obviously, he turned out to be a great player, had a long, successful career, won a World Series, you know, managed here in Philly. But, yeah, it just goes to speak, I think, of the talent that can come out of Sacramento. I personally am probably biased. I also think that some of the coaching that's available in the area is a big reason why it's produced some really good players. But it's fun to be a part of a growing group within the big leagues of guys that are from, you know, the Sacramento, Northern California area.
All right, so you're a kid playing ball in Sacramento. You go through all the different levels. Then you get into pro ball, and now we have analytics, and we have things like that. What happens? What's the change once you get in? You say, hey, wait a minute, I didn't do that before.
Well, yeah, a lot of it obviously is meant to help, right? You're supposed to be able to find an edge somewhere. But I think the biggest thing about all of the information that's so readily available nowadays, especially at the highest levels, is that just figuring out what works for you. Some guys want it all. Some guys want no part of it at all. I'm a guy that's probably fit somewhere in between those bills. I know that some things are more important to me than others. Some things work with my game, with my swing. So that it's kind of a trial and error thing. It's, like I said, it's meant to help. It can be overwhelming, but if you can kind of sift through what works for you, tends to give you an edge out on the field.
All right, Rhys Hoskins with us. What works for you? What do you like about analytics?
I tend to be a more selective hitter, so I like to see how much a pitcher is within the strike zone, especially with some of the off-speed stuff. What's his best off-speed pitch? If he gets into a big jam, where's he going? What's he most comfortable with? Just that type of thing. If there's an 0-0 percentage or an 0-0 pitch that seems to come more often, we're just looking for little opportunities to maybe take more chances and put up more runs on the board as an offensive player.
Yeah, I was saying that Kyle Schwarber, when we chatted about it, and I do these previews, you know, every Saturday and Sunday, you know, on the Giants weekend pregame show. and I do the pitching preview. And the pitchers are on 0-0 counts, they're 400, two homers. And I said, Kyle, what's going on? And he says, well, they want to get ahead of you, yep, is the deal. So it is a fact to follow.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think, like you said, right, sometimes the guys on the mound are so good. They are big leaguers, too. And that sometimes the best pitches for us to hit can come early in the count because, like you said, they're trying to get ahead. They want to be able to throw their other stuff for what we call, as a hitter, a strike-to-ball pitch, yeah, something that looks like a strike for very long, something that the pitcher wants you to swing at because soft contact's probably coming. So they can get ahead. They want to throw those. But if we can be aggressive because they know they want to get ahead, kind of flips the script back into the offensive players.
You know, we watch so many games on TV, and you watch the slider come in, and it looks simple. Say, how can a big league hitter not hit it? You're a big league hitter. There's this pitcher on the mound. He's got a great slider. What does it look like to you? How come you swing over it?
The really good sliders don't look, they look like the fastball. It's harder to see seams. Some guys can really, really spin the ball. And if you're not seeing seams, that's how we are able to differentiate what pitch is coming in, is just how the ball is spinning. If you can see more red, if you can't. Some guys can really spin it, can't see any of the seams. Hard to see, a lot of swing and miss. Some guys that maybe don't have as good of a slider, you'll be able to see a little bit of a dot that the seams make from it spinning the way that it does. And that gives us more of a chance to react and be on time for the slider.
How do you hit DeGrom?
You hope he throws it in the zone. Now, one thing about DeGrom, though, that I respect as an opponent is that he's obviously has the stuff, but he's coming right after you. You can't miss the ones that are in the middle of the plate. A future Hall of Famer going to be in the conversation as one of the best maybe to ever toe the rubber. They still got to throw it over the plate, and that's one thing that I always try to remind myself. If they throw it over the plate, I got to be ready to hit it.
Okay. Now, look, you've seen Giants-Dodgers. You're a Bay Area guy. You know what it's all about. I talked to someone today. I said, well, what about Philly Met? And he said, let me tell you something. Philly Met, as good as any rivalry around. What's it like?
I've learned that. I've learned that and learned it very quickly. I don't know if it's something that people in the Phillies organization just kind of ingrain in its players. I grew up on Giants-Dodgers, so I understand the heated rivalry, especially within a division. It's even more fun when both teams are good. This year, the games against the Mets have been all intense, very, very intense, no matter where the schedule lied, whether it was April or we just played them, four games in 3 days a couple weeks ago. Intense playoff-like atmosphere games where one play can swing the game. And that's really cool for us as a group. We get a chance to kind of taste what that might feel like before we got a chance in October.
What about the fans? How do Philly fans treat the Mets?
Just like Giants fans would treat the Dodgers.
Good answer.
Very good answer, Reese Hoskins. Very good answer. This Philly team has played terrific. Let's face it, off to a slow start. When we saw you on the road when the Giants played the Phillies, it was a struggle for the Phils. Now, all of a sudden, new manager. Of course, we'll touch on that for a second. But this team has turned it around.
Yeah, we've just played better baseball, I think, all around. A cleaner brand, types of things like we're going first to third more, we're turning more ground balls into outs, we're catching more fly balls, and we're getting timely hits. We knew we were going to hit just based off the talent we have in the lineup. We obviously faced a little bit of adversity with some injuries and had to have some young guys step up, and they did. They played beautifully. Alec Bohm, Bryson Stott, Matt Vierling, Brandon Marsh, Nick Maton, all of these guys were asked to do things that maybe they didn't have their eyes set on at the beginning of the year, but they responded beautifully, and we've put ourselves in a pretty good position to have a chance, you know, at the end of September, come October.
Well, it's a good race. Now, you're a first baseman. Were you always a first baseman as a kid in high school and all that? Were you signed as a first baseman? You're shaking your head no, my goodness.
I was signed as a first baseman. I didn't start playing first base until, well, I played it as a sophomore in high school, but that's because that was the only position on the field that didn't have a college recruit. So I played where I could, and then I went back to playing first base as a sophomore in college. Played a little bit of outfield in the big leagues right when I got called up. As soon as I got the chance to move back to the dirt, I was ready. I like being in the rhythm of the game. Well, obviously, as a first baseman, you touch the ball a little bit more. Just keeps you more locked in, I think. It's harder to stay out of your own way as an outfielder is what I learned.
Are you a talker? We always see on TV the first baseman's always saying something to the runner, smiling, this and that. What goes on there?
I think so. One thing I try to remind myself, although we are opponents and we are trying to beat the other team, we're all in the same boat and have a certain respect for each other of how hard this game can be and what it takes to get to this level. So just seeing where guys are, you know, throughout the year, if it's late like we are right now, you know, I got a chance to meet Corbin Carroll this past week, who's a Diamondbacks prospect. So just kind of getting to know people throughout the league. I'm a baseball fan. You know, I like getting to know these guys if I can, even if it's just a little bit of small talk. I have a little bit more of a respect for who they are and how they go about their business.
You ever watch Freddie Freeman at first base? Come on, he's like doing an interview.
He's having a ton of fun. And that's the other thing, right? Like, it allows us to have a little bit of fun. As long as you're able to stay focused on the game, a little bit of banter, a little bit of laughter back and forth is good for everybody.
All right, so you're a first baseman, and I mentioned to you the other day, defensive numbers, the analytics. All of a sudden, have you like the second best first baseman in the league, baseball, you name it, it's happening. Ball's going to your right, to your left, and all this stuff. How about that?
Yeah, we've done a lot of work. Our infield coach, Bobby Dickerson, is someone that I would go to bat for any day because I know that he would go to bat for any of his infielders, any guys he works with. This is my second year, second opportunity to get a chance to work with him. But really, I think it's just a testament to the consistency of the work that we've been able to do throughout the year. Not just myself, but really as an infield group. It's something that he takes a lot of pride in, and he finds ways to make it interesting, competitive, and fun, as some of this work can get tedious when you do it over and over and over again. So it's really a testament to Bobby. You know, we kind of have come up with a plan in spring training and really just been stubborn to executing that throughout the year, and it's nice to see the results far from a finished product.
What's your toughest play?
To me, it's always the backhand. It's just a little bit harder to read the ball in the hole, especially from a lefty, because a lot of balls that are hit have some topspin or are hooked, so a lot of balls can look a little bit further away than they actually are. So that's a tough read. And then really the forehand pick, not being left-handed, you know, the runner comes into play as the ball goes up the line. So that's something that you got to get used to as time goes.
Yeah, I watched your workout yesterday before the game. It was fun to watch it. You say makes it fun. Well, what does he do to make it fun?
There's some smack talk involved for sure. We have like a little point system that we go through based off of really just taking care of the ball. It's a simple thing, catching the ball and throwing the ball, not letting the ball hit the ground. So that's kind of a season-long thing that, you know, we kind of get to keep track of. But we just like to have fun with each other. It's meant to be. It's a part of the game that's obviously very important. Everybody loves to hit, but I think if you can find ways to make the other aspects of the game fun, defense, base running, you can get some really good results, and that's kind of what's gone on.
So you're back home. How do you like it? Well, what's it like for you to come back home?
It's home, you know. I love it. To me, it's God's country. It just obviously brings back a lot of memories. But I'm just a West Coast kid at heart, I think. I love Philly. I've grown up there. I've matured as a man, obviously as a baseball player, but also as a man. And it's taught me a lot of things. But I think at heart, coming back to the West Coast is something that will always be exciting for me.
Yeah, just a couple more things for you. It's great to talk to Reese Hoskins, really. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you. Home run this year has been interesting. They've deadened the ball. They're doing everything to humidors and who knows what else. But Aaron Judge, I mean, come on, this guy can hit 60. And then you look at Schwarber, you know, a leadoff hitter, and he's a guy, he doesn't wait around. If he gets his pitch, he hits it. How about those two?
Yeah, two of the better power hitters in the game, both definitely in the conversation for the best. It's just a threat, right? Those guys step in the box. Everybody in the ballpark knows who they are. Everybody in the ballpark's kind of on the edge of their seat waiting for the loud crack of the bat. What Judge is doing, actually, you know, really what both of them, but specifically Judge seems to be getting a little bit of the Bonds treatment, at least as of late. I think he hit 50 earlier this week. Earlier in the game, I think he had been intentionally walked twice and unintentionally walked another time. So first pitch that really at competitive at bat that he got in that game, he was able to hit a homer. And to me, that's pretty Bondsian, right? Yeah. See one pitch every one or two games and not miss it. And that's how you hit homers in bunches, and they're doing that this year.
So what's your contract status now? Well, where are you in contract-wise?
I'll have, after this year, I'll have one more year in arbitration.
And you have not signed a long-term deal yet?
No long-term deal. Just going through the arbitration process right now.
All right. Farhan, you listening? You listening, buddy? He hasn't signed a long-term contract yet. Boy, it's nice to have you on, as always. And it's a pleasure to see your success. The manager, you know, he looks like a guy to me that should be smoking a cigar, sitting on a bench somewhere.
Well, he's a baseball guy. Yeah. He's seen and thought of every probably baseball situation that I can think of, or that we as ball players can think of. He's been a part of World Series contending teams, World Series winning teams. And really, he's done it in arguably the toughest market to do it in New York, right? So he has a ton of experience to draw back on. But he really, I've learned, has an innate knack to keep the clubhouse loose.
Yep.
He knows the type of talent that we have, and oftentimes when that talent doesn't come out, it's because we're getting in our own way. So he's been really, really great at keeping it loose, getting us out of our own way, and really just letting us go play.
Yeah, I agree with you. He's a very relaxed man. I like that. Hey, great to have you on. A pleasure. Now, last time you had you on, you did the sign-off, if you remember. You said KMBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader. You ready?
Okay.
Okay, KMBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader. Reese Hoskins.
KMBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.
I see the guy in a couple of years. We'll see. All right, Reese, thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks, Marty. Appreciate you having me on.
Very good. What a pleasure. I have more coming up. Giants baseball. KMBR 680, 104.5.
The sports leader.
All right.